Hello and welcome to the MB Om podcast, where you will learn to master the business of yoga with guests from around the world who have experienced becoming successful yoga teachers, studio owners, and much more. Now, here's your host, Amanda Kingsmith.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the MB Om podcast. I'm so excited that you've decided to join me for today's episode of the podcast. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast for a couple of months, you know that I've been working with Fave Yogis. And we connected probably close to 6 months ago now about sponsoring the podcast. And over that time, I've gotten to use their app. I've gotten to test it out myself. I've really fallen in love with what they do. And I've gotten to know the people that are behind Fave Yogis. And it's really, really awesome because today I've got this CEO and founder, Tami Tope Shunui, on the podcast to talk about his journey as a yogi, as a yoga teacher, and how he's been able to combine his love of yoga with his love of programming and build an app that really helps yoga teachers. It helps them from the business side of things. It helps students be able to discover them. And I feel like he's just created something that's really made it easier as a yoga teacher to run a small business without having to be super technical. I feel like sometimes we get caught up in all these different platforms we need to be on and all these different things we need to do. And all we really want to do is show up to class and teach. And I think that Tami Tope has done a really great job at being able to kind of bridge the gap there. So on today's episode, we're talking about his journey with yoga, yoga teaching, where the idea from the app came from, how he actually went about building the app, and then some of the functionalities around it. So this is a really, really fun episode. It was super cool to connect, and I hope that you guys enjoy it. I'm very excited to be joined on the podcast today by Tami Tope Shunui, who is the founder of Fave Yogis. Welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you. Welcome. Nice to be here.
Absolutely. Did I butcher your name?
You did, but it's okay. I still love you. It's Tami Tope.
Tami Tope. Okay. Yeah. I wrote it down like that, and then I knew I was going to say it wrong. So I'm so sorry about that.
No offense taken or given.
Where are you joining me from today?
I'm joining you from sunny Santa Monica, California, United States.
Amazing. I went there last year and it was my first time in Santa Monica. I'd been to LA before, but never Santa Monica. It's such a gorgeous area.
Yeah, it's really, it really helps with a lot of things just to be able to walk outside and be in the sun. And it's a really cool area. Very blessed to live here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so for listeners of the show, they've heard about Fave Yogi since you guys have been sponsoring the podcast for a couple of months now. So thank you for that, first of all.
Well, our pleasure. Our pleasure.
Yeah, it's been really cool, you know, getting to work with you guys and seeing what you're up to. And I'm really curious to hear the story about this. So can you back up and tell me kind of where this whole idea came from for Fave Yogi?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. And I'll try to be, I can tell stories and wind us all around, but I'll try to be mindful of that and not go too far back. But basically, it gets helpful to start at university. So I went to school for computer science. And before that, I'd always been into technology, but I'm kind of on the science nerd side of the spectrum, if you will. And when I got out of school, I wasn't into yoga at all in school. But when I got out, I was always in the startup scene here in Santa Monica, pre the Silicon Beach moniker that I think we have now, burgeoning. And, you know, just really into the startup culture. We tried and started so many different businesses, et cetera. And in the midst of all that, you know, running around, you know, chasing those dreams, I tripped over the rock of meditation and yoga, and it opened a cave of wonders. And I've been deep inside of it ever since. But as far as the app idea, a few years into taking, I started teaching. I got my certification in 2012. Probably started practicing in earnest in 2008. But after teaching for a few years, there were a few pain points I had as a teacher, like literally like going around telling people my schedule, updating my Facebook, my website, my Instagram, and keeping it in sync, and just a few other things. And those things started to itch and grate a little bit more as I spent more time. And one day it hit me like, I'm a yogi. At this point, I'm pretty much, you know, spiritually tattooed as a yogi for the rest of this lifetime, at least. Mm-hmm. And I'd been practicing software engineering and building programs and writing code and apps since before there was an app store, you know? So it's like, wait, these problems that I have, I can solve them. Why don't I just build it? And so I actually first started Fave Yogis for myself. I actually built it to ease the issues that I had as a teacher. And then after that, I started talking to more teachers who were in a little bit different situations. Some people did more private. Some people did only one studio. Some people were traveling teachers, et cetera. And so as I talked to more teachers and as I continue to talk to more teachers and get more accustomed with their needs, we start adding more features and sort of adding more to the product to make it more and more valuable to more and more teachers and hopefully help out the entire community. But it started as a software project for myself to make my life easier as a teacher.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's so neat to hear. And I think that you're probably in a really small minority of people who can look at like, oh, I'm having this trouble as a teacher. Let me just build an app. So,
yeah, it's a nice place to be. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm curious, I think you're probably the first, like, I guess, developer or software mm-hmm. engineer that I've talked to who's mm-hmm. also a yoga teacher. What was it kind of about, because you were, you know, in the startup scene, what was it about yoga that you're like, I not only want to practice, but I also want to teach this?
That's a great question. So to the first, a few things. As a programmer, developer, you're working with abstract objects most of the time. The most tangible thing you touch in your work and part of your tool set is a keyboard. And even that's fast disappearing in some technological realms. But because I was juggling these abstract objects of like data, databases, you know, integers, strings, all these things, in computer science lingo, when I started getting into meditation, I was also dealing with abstract objects that were still concrete in a way, if you will, right? When you talk about pranayama and different breathing techniques, mindfulness, concentration, all these invisible things. And so I really took to yoga. It was almost like I was being prepped before I was doused in those waters. So I had a very deep gratitude to the practice. And I fell in love with it in those 4 years. And it made me feel so good. And it improved my life so much. It made me a better person. Substantially, discreetly, a better person, right? I mean, discreet as in discreet and continuous, mm-hmm. not as inconspicuous. But I knew I was a better person. There was no question. I wasn't like, oh, I feel like maybe I feel a little better. I was more calm. I was, you know, at all these things that, you know, helped me reform myself. And one of the great gurus, Paramahansa Yogananda, said, to change others, change yourself. And I was like, oh my goodness. To me, it was like an epiphany of, if, you know, I can only change myself, but if I can teach other people or help other people learn that same thing, right? I'm not changing them. I'm not going in class and being like, you have to do this, you have to do that. But if I can add to this process of the general increasing of our karmic coefficient of consciousness on the planet by teaching yoga and practicing yoga and really just immersing myself in yoga, I was like, oh, I'll be happy in my life because I love yoga so much. It makes me happy. And then if I can spread the happiness and give people those tools in some semblance, right? Like, you know, in America, we very much commercialized and very much made fast the process of becoming a disciple and a guru and a teacher. Mm. But that's what we need. That's our environment over here in the West, sort of. So I understand that. I'm not mad at this, like, you know, rapid, like, speed dating christening of yoga teachers. That's fine. And I think you play a role in that in a good way, too, prepping people for business. The business of yoga, but that was really the pearl, the seed of inspiration of becoming a teacher. Because I was a software engineer, and you know, I programmed a lot, and that was all right as far as like money and material things for providing rent and making a living. And so I kind of didn't have to worry about the business of yoga when I first got into it, because I had a job, kind of, you know, I had stuff I did, and so that was really nice. But that's how I got into it.
Yeah.
To make a short story long.
Yeah. I love that. That's super interesting. And so when you first started teaching, you still have, like, you're still working in the tech space, right?
Yes. Yes. When I first started teaching, I was actually at Techstars, which is a super cool accelerator, similar to maybe Y Combinator, if you're familiar with the original sort of Silicon Valley. There's these basically this organization, that helps shepherd young startup companies and like takes cohorts of groups and like gives them a bunch of resources to try stuff. And I was going back and forth between Denver and Los Angeles for the program for a summer, you know, going back and forth. I had a gig, I was doing a thing, but technically, yeah, I had, hiding come from being a developer and doing that. And what's nice about kind of working in those abstract realms, where it's not so tangible, is a lot of stuff can be done remotely. And so just being able to have my consciousness in something, right, whether it's in a program like a Skype or Slack or something, is enough. And it's easy to send your work over, right? I'm not sending a bag of tools or a kit. I'm sending text that's code.
Yeah.
So it's very flexible in that way, very fluid, which to me is very yogic in a way, but that's maybe another podcast.
Absolutely. And so what was it like to kind of balance these two worlds, like balance like working for a tech startup and then also balance being a yoga teacher?
It was like a washing machine, but it's like, oh, that's why I have yoga. This is why I've been given this practice of meditation and being still, because you're back and forthing. I mean, even in the practice of developing software, most of the time you're sitting in a chair and you're very, very still. And so it was kind of nice. It's funny because I know in yoga we do get still, but yoga was my movement too, right? Like from sitting still all day, I went somewhere and I'm into like a different types of yoga, but I got in physically through power yoga. And so it was a very demanding asana, you know, deep, long holds, you know, you're sweating almost every single time, surely. But I also came from a American football background where we lifted weights a lot, et cetera. So it very much met with me where I was at. But balancing those two, it's perfect. I feel like they complement each other very well. In some ways, they're very similar. In some ways, they're very different. Like the sitting, it's very different to sit all day and then go move. And it's a nice peanut butter and jelly, you know, sandwiching of the two. But then at the same time, it's all at this root. Both of those things are very abstract, right? Like when you're in a pose or when you're in a seat at the end in Shavasana, it's like you're still, but you're still working your mental muscles of being able to concentrate in the third eye center, perhaps, or XYZ, right? And so I really love it. It does not feel like work. It almost feels like a paths of destiny have crossed at this point. And it's like, oh, this is what I would do anyway, whether I was a millionaire or whatever. You know, if I could have my first chakra needs and securities met, then I would, you know, definitely be writing software and doing yoga. So.
I love that. I love that blend, how natural it is for you. That's really, really cool. And so I'm curious, you know, you're having these struggles in kind of the industry. What were some of the main things that you felt like you were struggling with as a yoga teacher?
The biggest thing was controlling my placement on my schedule, like, or connecting with my students so they knew where my schedule was and when it was. It was always a question after class, you know, of like, hey, when do you teach? And then I'm going to say, I teach at ABC at XYZ. So I'm literally giving them like, hey, can you memorize all this stuff after I've just put you in like a, you know, after you just come out of a Shavasana blissful state, like, by the way, remember all this. And if you have a pen, maybe write it down. Like, no one wants to write anything down. No one wanted to memorize all that after class. And so it was always just like a very, you know, hand to mouth, weird, hard, a burdensome process of people knowing when I was teaching. And so the first thing was like, I wish I could tell them, check, you know, go here. My schedule is always there. It's up to date. You don't have to check, like, is it the same on this as on that as on. In the space that we're at in Santa Monica, most of the studios have apps that have their schedule on it. Mm-hmm. And I would teach at multiple studios. So for a student to know when I taught, if they were like on a mobile phone, which more than the majority these days of web traffic is mobile, they would have to have 2-3 different apps. And if they had other teachers who were different studios, they might have 4 or 5 apps. I was in that situation for my teachers. I had 6 apps on my phone and I would check through all of them when I wanted to know when one person taught. And so
that's so crazy.
You know, yeah. And it's exactly what I thought. I'm like, that's crazy though. And it made it very, no shade to the studios, but it was a very studio centric kind of a power structure. But the teachers kind of got the shorter end of the stick. It was like the teachers, it was, you know, there was very, very few things that were teacher centric except the classes themselves.
Right.
Which is where the value was to me. That was the experience. That's what we were all going for, was this class. Like, you know, like you could go to a studio and have teachers you do or don't necessarily jive with energetically. And so it just made a lot of sense to me to be like, why doesn't there be a teacher-centric sort of a viewpoint on this where, I want to follow this teacher wherever they're at, et cetera. And so scheduling was really big. Managing schedules and connecting students to my schedule easily. And then naturally that started to spill over into payments, right? Accepting payments, which there was Square, there was Venmo, which is cool, but it was like a different thing. It's like, if it can be in the same place and I can kind of manage my scheduling and payments, all of a sudden as a teacher, I have a lot more control over kind of what I'm doing and how I'm handling things. So it felt very natural, you know, the unfolding of that.
Yeah. And I think with the payments too, it's like, then you can, you know, have a private at your house without somebody having to like worry about getting cash out beforehand or writing a check that might bounce or that sort of thing. Cause I feel like, you know, that I guess you could do like Venmo in that case. It's pretty fast mm-hmm. or PayPal or something like mm-hmm. that. But I think if you can just keep it all in one place, it just makes it so much easier when it comes to like your businesses, your taxes, make sure you're getting paid, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. On the head of the nail with a hammer. Absolutely. That is, it's funny too, because at first I didn't teach any private classes. I taught all public classes, some donations, some at studios that accepted the payment. And that was great, but that was my situation. And I started talking to teachers who did more privates and for whom privates actually were how they made their living, right? People who taught for a living, like where they're like, no, I'm interested in the business of yoga. Like that's what I'm doing with my life entirely. And then the light bulb started to go off like, oh, for teachers who do privates, this is extremely, extremely helpful. You know, if you already have relationships with students on Venmo, et cetera, that's great. And that's easy if they already know it. What's nice about what we could do with Fave Yogis is things like recurring billing, right, to make it really easy. You know, it's like, hey, we do this thing every week or once every 2 weeks or once every other week, whatever it is. And, you know, this is just our payment schedule. Maybe we do a set number of classes or we can do so many different things that are specific to how yoga teachers, you know, interact with their students for payments. And so I'm hoping that could be very valuable for folks that do private teaching. So. But yeah, those are definitely the benefits that we're seeing as well. And, we're excited about, excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I definitely want to talk more about, you know, the different features of the app and all that sort of stuff and kind of, you know, all the different new stuff you have now. But I was thinking about like, so you see these kind of challenges in your own practice and you said you created it for yourself. Was it kind of like, I'm going to build this app since I have these skills as opposed to like creating a website for myself, or where was your head sort of at that point?
Oh, it was definitely the former. I was definitely thinking, hey, why don't I just make an app to take care of this problem, these annoyances of being a yoga teacher in the current environment? Why don't I create it? I already had a personal website, which was cool, which was okay, but it wasn't a mobile app, right? I couldn't send you push notifications. Right? There were certain things I couldn't as easily do, right? You had to go, you had to type in tamitopayoga.com and then go in and click on classes, right? And then you had to hopefully I had updated it in time, right? It wasn't like a real time. I had to go in and change something, right? There wasn't an easy way for me to update my website from my phone necessarily. And so kind of making the number of steps to find my schedule shorter, and making an app that can ease that, right? So I had a mobile presence. Most of my students were mobile, right? Whether they were trying to find me on Venmo or whatever. And so it just made sense to like have that extension. But kind of as a meld between the two, even at first, before I was like the very first incarnation and seed of it was, I'll make an app for just like a Tamitopa yoga app. So I could tell students like, oh, find my app on the store, you'll see my schedule. But then, you know, while building that, it's almost trivial from a computer science standpoint to, you know, change a few lines of code. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's just, well, and let anybody come and do it. Instead of it being Tamitopa yoga, it could be a general yoga app and teachers can come in and put their name. So it's like, you can search for a teacher and see what I would have done just for myself, but for anyone. Yeah. And so it was very natural to be like, oh yeah, why make just one app for one person? Like you can app for any.
I think that's so awesome, though. It's like you see all your students have like all these different studio apps, probably lots of people using Mindbody Online, and you're like, I could just have this for my own stuff. You can just find my whole schedule on here. I love that mindset.
It's very cool. It's you know, I'll tell other aspiring coders that like, you know, really you're kind of a wizard of sorts, right? Because you can kind of fashion things out of thought, you know, and everyone does that, actually. Everyone is a creator and a magician, even the carpenter with wood. It's just different tools. But it is a nice feeling to have, and it's a great skill. I encourage other people to and I encourage anybody to also send me questions you might have about coding or software. The bar lowers every day as far as the ability of someone to gain that skill set. So much stuff online with learning, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's super neat. I really love that. And I think that's just like such a cool skill to have. You're like, I see like a problem, I'm going to build an app for this. Just makes me think about how I should learn how to program.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Definitely.
And so you launched this first version and you're like, okay, you know, other people can use it. At that point, were you still kind of using it more selfishly and just having your friends join, or did you see like a bigger vision for it right away?
Oh no, by the time I launched it, I saw a bigger vision. Like when I thought about it, I just thought about it for myself. And then by the time I launched it, I was talking to people and getting feedback from other teachers in my circles. And it was like, oh, this could revolutionize the way we interact with yoga. This could be a big contribution, I hope, to the yoga community worldwide, right? Like we have people from Brazil, Israel, the Middle East who have classes on the app. And that's kind of, that was the vision, even by the time the first release came out, because from planning to release, it's actually a good amount of work, right? As much as I'm like, oh, I'll just make it. But then making it is sitting down and, you know, and building, right? And building this, you know, house of mental cards, if you will, with some stability to it, right? And so by then it was like, oh, no, this can be, you know, if we listen to teachers correctly and students and studios and understand the needs and can really deliver something that's not just for one person, Tammy Tope, who teaches yoga in this one city, then I think we can really contribute to the community as far as like tools go, right? It's very, understandably so, it's very studio heavy in terms of like the tools out there for yoga, right? It's like how to run a software, you know, studio for software, which is cool, that's needed, but there's other players in this sort of a theater of yoga, right? Like there's the teachers, there's the students, there's studio owners, And they're not mutually exclusive, right? There's teachers who are students and also studio owners. Like I know them, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah, absolutely.
And they only occupy, you know, one of those roles or two of those roles. And so it's a very cool space to be in. Santa Monica is somewhat of a hotbed of yoga. And so it's very nice to be in a place where you see a lot of the different variations. But all that being said, it's also one microcosm in terms of it being one city. And so in different places where things might be more spread out or whatever it is, yoga can sort of form differently to meld to the needs of those people in that culture. And ultimately, I want to be very helpful for all the yogis and all the different climates and environments. And so it's probably somewhat of a never ending process of talking to yogis, hearing from yogis about their experiences and seeing how we can add tools that can make that simpler and more enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah, that's really cool. And so you mentioned that, you know, it is as simple as being like, I'll build an app, but it's also not as simple as like, oh, I'll build an app for this.
Exactly.
I think
it's like yoga.
Yeah, yeah. I think for most people listening, I'm going to go ahead and say that probably the majority don't know how to build apps. So how long did that process actually take you to build like the first edition of Fave Yogis?
I'd say it took about 3 to 4 months for the first version to come out. I took, it all starts with sketching for me. Like it's almost indistinguishable from, architecting or really almost anything, right? You write down what you want to do. And so you start writing down, objectives you want to solve. And then even then it's pictures, right? You start drawing the screens out, and that I like to take most of my time there. And then actually sitting at a keyboard and writing the code probably takes a third of the total time. Right. It takes less time to do that than to sort of plan it and make sure you have it right. Like, you know, measure twice, cut once, I think is the saying. And so most of the time is in the planning, right? Whether it's like planning your class, et cetera, it's that mental stuff. And then it's coding. Right. And that's the stuff like I know. Right. Oh, like I know these languages. I know JavaScript. I know C. I know, you know, the Node, you know, et cetera. And it's like, OK, so now I can just translate these ideas that are now firm. Right. Like it'd be a lot of time talking with someone like you or, you know, et cetera, firming up those ideas like, no, this is really what we want it to look like. This is really how we want it to function. We need people to be able to go here, press this, you know, and get this. and then building it, actually writing the code is like learning a language, like speaking a language somewhat and then being like, oh, I know the preposition for this. I know how they, you know, they think differently in this language. They don't say like, I went to the store, you know, they'll say like the store came to me. And I don't know any language where they do that. I'm just using that as a metaphor, but
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I have a friend who's a programmer, and she uses JavaScript, and she always refers to it as her language, which at first, like being a non-programmer, I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like I think about like, oh, you know, like I speak English, I speak some Spanish, like that's a language to me. And then I was thinking about it and I was like, it really is another language, because when you don't know something like JavaScript or any type of coding, you look at it and it literally is gibberish.
Absolutely. Oh, it's hieroglyphics, right? It's a, and that's really cool. That's actually my current, you know, language du jour is JavaScript, and more than du jour, more of like the decade, maybe. It's I speak JavaScript for sure. That's been a long time language, a favorite of mine. And in similar ways, like when you meet someone who speaks your language, when you're in a foreign speaking country, which is like everywhere for programmers, you also have a sense of kinship. So I'm sure me and your friend would like hit it off like, oh, you speak JavaScript. Cool. So tell me about, you know, X, Y, or Z, you know, and it's definitely does have that language feel.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's super cool. And so, you know, 4 months goes by, or 3-4 months, you know, and you release Fave Yogis. And what was kind of the initial response, like when you told your friends and your other yoga teachers and stuff like that about it, what was sort of the response?
Oh, sort of, you know, seeds on the different fields, you know, in terms of teachers who were more in my situation. Like some people saw the vision, like exactly what I saw, and got as excited as I did. They're like, oh great, I'm on it. Got it. But I also noticed that there were different types of teachers, and some teachers who were like, I do this for a living, so X, Y, you know, they had different concerns where the very first version didn't quite meet. And that kind of kicked off the quest to understand more. I had to even expand my awareness more to be like, oh, so what's it like to be a teacher when, say, this is your bread and butter, perhaps, or when you also own a studio, you know? And we're still doing that, right? We're coming off a round of interviews recently, but that's sort of the first response definitely showed that there it's not just one size fits all for all teachers and all studios and all situations. So.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And so when you launched, people could basically create a profile and put their classes and take payment. And then what was sort of like the next sort of features that you added to the app?
So actually, no. The first version of the app was just list your classes and favorite teachers.
It was
super basic. Yeah, that was my first sort of ground zero need. Was like, here's my classes. You can see them all in one place. And so if you add me or a few other teachers, it'll all show up in one place. That was sort of like, that makes my life easier as a teacher for me, you know, Tammy Tope. And then later in the year, actually payments became a thing. And that was actually the end of December. So super, we probably announced at the very beginning of 2018 when payments came out. So that was actually quite a few months after.
Okay. Awesome. And then what other features have you added since then?
Oh, great. So one big thing we added was, if you've joined recently, you might not notice, but our website is very new. We used to have just the website that was like, hey, download the app. It's out there. Go check it out. Similar to like a Venmo or something. But recently we added a fabiogis.me, which basically allows you to sign up right away. We wanted to lower the barrier to entry for teachers and their students to at least get started, right, to create your account. And you can sign in with using Google Sign Up now. So it's like, you don't have to go. It used to be quite a slog actually to like first download the app, wait for the app to download, go in, create a username and password, right? Now you can go to the website, click a button, and you signed up. And now it's a little easier. So you don't have to go through a like profile verification process, which looking back now, I'm horrified that we ever had that. It takes so much energy to like create an account and get started. Special kudos out to the early Fave Yogis users, teachers and students, because that wasn't easy at all, you know? And I'm like, you know, we've got to make that easier. And so those kind of refinements have been kind of the latest thing. And so if you go to the website now and, you know, you can explore and find teachers without downloading the app. So I can like search, you know, by city, state, zip code, name, a username, and like kind of check out, you can see a little bit more of the life of the application without having to download the app. And so that's kind of that's helpful, because some students will be like, okay, I see it, or teachers even like, I'll sign up right now, but I don't have time to download the app because I'm on the move, or right, whatever it is. This also allows teachers to share a link. I think this is a really big deal. It actually puts together a bunch of our features. So a teacher can go in, create a class, private or public. They can get a link for that class, and then they can share that link, whether it's a link in their bio for Instagram, an email, you know, Facebook post, whatever. And from that link, a student can go straight to the class and sign up online. So the students never have to download the app in order to sign up for a class or to pay you. So a student can even go to the link. They can either donate, or if the class requires payment, they can pay for the class, and they've registered for the class. They get an email confirming that they've registered and they have not yet went to an app store. And that's kind of the big, that was the kind of end-to-end vision we wanted to accomplish with this latest round of changes, was say, hey, even if you don't have the app or you haven't convinced your students to download the app yet, because that is a high bar, they can still go through the entire process of benefiting from you being on Fave Yogis. So use it. So as long as you, the teacher, signed up, you can get payments. And that's you can get paid. So it's like, sign up, add your class, and eventually we're going to let you add your class even from the web, so even you don't have to go to the app necessarily, although the app gives you a bunch of great features like push notifications and, you know, tracking stuff. But for now, we want to make it super easy for you to get started and for your students to get started. And so being able to share that link is going to be a big deal. To be able to go from link in bio to payment in less than 60 seconds is effectively what we've done just over the last month. We released just a few weeks ago this last thing that allows that to happen. And so, you know, you can already kind of, if you think about it from a computer architecture standpoint, there's a bunch of different environments. There's the apps, right? Android, iOS, that mobile app, that's a different environment. That's not the web. Then there's the web, and to kind of tie those together, right? Where someone can go from Instagram, which is a whole different app, link in bio, now they're on the web, right? Make a payment. And then at some time they might download the app. They're jumping from kingdom to kingdom. And so it's the way of the world right now. If you're building apps, you know, it's more complex than it was when things started, you know, and I've been very blessed to see the evolution and the waves of software progression over the last decade or plus. But yeah, again, to make a short story long.
No, I love it. I actually just pulled up the website as you were talking, which is really cool. Oh, so, you know, like I told you before we started recording, I'm currently in Charleston, South Carolina. This is not my home. and it's cool because like my computer obviously knows where I am. So it pulled up a bunch of different yoga studios that are kind of within like a 10-mile radius of me. And then all I did was click on like one of the teachers, and you can see like there's the donate tip button. There's access to their website. They've got their Instagram handle. I can see all of their classes at all the different studios, which is so cool. And then.
And this could be if you hadn't downloaded the app and you're on your computer, right? So it's like, it can interact with this other part of the world, right? We first started like mobile, but we wanted you to be able to have that experience where you're like, oh, I just click the explore. I can see what's around me. I can check out the scene, the teachers, the studios are all kind of like linked together. And that's all brand new. Yeah. We're really excited about that.
Yeah. And I love how, you know, the idea behind Fave Yogis is like you find this teacher that you like, and then you can actually practice like everywhere that they teach. I think that's such a cool concept, because then you've really got like their schedule super accessible.
Exactly.
But I also love that, like, as a visitor to Charleston, like I don't really know many of the yoga studios here. And now this like comes up with like a bunch that are close to me. I can go. Yeah. Like I can see the teachers that are teaching. I can see what time they're teaching. And it's cool because like, I can click on a studio, click on a teacher, but then the teacher's schedule is like everywhere that they teach. And I feel like it's such a good win-win for yoga studios and yoga teachers. Cause I think that, I mean, you said this before, as a yoga teacher, it's like you want to promote your entire brand, but then it's also kind of like becomes about the studio because you teach for that studio. And I think that as like yoga entrepreneurs, we need to be able to be like, if you like what I'm offering, you know, here's where else I teach. Here's what else I have going on.
100%. That is so in line with the vision. I hope it brings us closer, right? Because as a teacher, I'm also, you know, it's like bees pollinating different gardens and different flowers and different groups. Like, hey, I teach at both of your places. These people like this teacher's, you know, particular energy. So wherever they go, the teacher is spreading awareness of that place. So the teacher has more value, you know, kind of in the equation, right? It's not like they're just disposable. The teacher is helping wherever they go, right? And the studio is helping because they provide a space where teachers gather. So these little these little hub spots, these little nodes of yogic activity. And I think it's fantastic. Like, now you know about the other places I teach as well. And so it makes the community more communal, right? As opposed to having these siloed apps where I'm downloading only the Yoga Works app or only the Core Power app or only the whatever app. So I only see those classes at those places. And so, like, you can have a studio right next door and have no idea about it. And that's why we liked the whole proximity part of our exploration too, where it's like, hey, there's a studio here, but there's also five other studios here. Some are independent, some are part of the corporate, some are donation, but you can check them out and you can get an idea of your yoga community, because at every place, as you saw, it'll show you all the teachers that teach there. Mm-hmm. If you go to places. And then at every teacher though, you'll see all the places they teach at. And so it creates this nice kind of interwoven, you know, network of what a yoga community sort of looks like. Like, I've never been to Charleston, South Carolina since I've made the app. So I don't, you know, I can search kind of, but I don't see it the same way as if I'm there and it gets my location. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of really get a view, a picture, you know, and we probably want to do more with that with like maps and stuff later. But for now, we just wanted it to be at least accessible and like viewable and kind of create those networks. But we're really interested, as time goes on, probably some more funding, we can do some like cool visualizations. So you can kind of just play with that from a purely computer science fun standpoint of like making visualizations that are helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And so if you are a yoga studio owner, do you just have to be on Google to be able to be on Fave Yogis, or do you have to create an account as well? Like, how does that work for studios?
So the teachers actually create the places, right? Because when you tell us what class you're at, then that becomes a place if it's not already, right? If the class you've put on is at a location that's never been on the system, well, that's a place now. And if you're, if there's already one that's on the system, then you get added to the teachers that are there. So it is still pretty teacher centric. There isn't technically, I wouldn't necessarily rule it out, but there isn't technically a button that says like, hey, I'm a studio owner. It's really made up by the teachers putting on their classes and literally creating the network of like, these are the places, right? Because it starts from the teacher, right? If the teacher's not teaching a class, there's nothing else happens, right? It doesn't. they are the center in a sense of the yoga activity. I'm going to this teacher's class. We're having this experience of oneness in this room, and that, you know, now it's a studio, right? And then it's like this place, and so the teachers really create the everything. It really centers around the teachers a lot.
That totally makes sense. And it just makes me think, I literally just put out an episode on Monday about how, you know, yoga studios and yoga teachers can create great relationships between one another. And it kind of came from hearing from a couple of different friends who were having challenging situations with studio owners, and then mm-hmm. having a listener write in and ask some questions. And, you know, part of what I said in the episode is that, like, we need each other. Like, studio owners need yoga teachers need mm-hmm. yoga studios. And
absolutely.
So we need to work in harmony with one another. And I feel like this is like such a perfect example of that. Like, the teachers create the accounts and put these studios kind of on the map in terms of mm-hmm. how this app works.
Literally, like on the map.
Yeah. And I think, like, for me using Fave Yogis, like, this is where I would turn to for yoga studios as opposed to just Googling them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's a lot we can do to help with that process, I think, as time goes. Like, even as you're talking now, which is all these thoughts are going off, like, oh yeah, you could do a cool thing with reviews. Studio owners could claim the studio if they want and like add some more stuff if they want. And there's things that can kind of be done to make that a better process, because when you go and it's like, oh, so I see all these teachers are here, but what are people saying about this studio or this teacher, etc. And so there's a lot of really nice things we could do, but because it starts with the teacher, our sort of like vision, and we want to make life simpler for the whole community, because they definitely need each other, teachers and studios, there's no question about it. But we have to be valuable to teachers, mm-hmm. because if we're not valuable to teachers, then teachers won't use it, right? And so we have to be valuable to teachers first. Like, for the studios, like MBO, and if you know the big players, and shout out to them, they're great for what they do. They became super valuable to studios, so studios use them. But that's also the center of power then, because they process all the payments most of the time, right? For non-private classes, for example, et cetera. And it's like, teachers they're kind of at the whim of everything, right? And because of that, I think MBO is actually the offer of most of these white label app solutions for studios. So a lot of studios use these MBO-based shell apps that are all the same underneath, just using because they already have their schedule in there, et cetera. And And yeah, so it's very like studio apps siloed off classes. Although it's helpful in some cases, it creates a little bit of separation at certain pockets of the community, because it's like, now all the classes are only from the studio, right? Unless I'm using the MBO app, which is a whole nother beast itself, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's cool, you know? And obviously you can expand and generalize and make it like, this could be for all teachers in private, this. But because I came from a yogic background, because I really, I'm tied to yoga. I love yoga. I'm tied to it. It's such a part of my life. It's just like, coming from that perspective was very natural and something I wanted to start with. And I felt like I'm in it. I understand. I live this thing with people and it's in my community. So, so it's very natural as well, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's really cool to hear. And so I'm kind of curious, what's sort of on the horizon for Fave Yogis? Like, what is your like dream? Where do you want to see the app go?
Well, it's really, I know I've been saying it a lot, but it goes back to it's very teacher driven in terms of like, what do people need? Like, really, I want to be of service, right? I want, you know, if I had to leave tomorrow and it's like, did I put anything that helps serve people on the table? You know, this like big human story. Like, I love people. I'm usually by myself and I like that, like solitude, but I love people in general, right? Not necessarily always being in the middle of big crowds, but I think yoga helps people. And if I can add, one tool on top of the many, many, you know, the literatures, the Vedas, the scriptures, all the things that have been, you know, given to us via yoga, et cetera, to help, that'd be great. I'd be super happy. So it really goes where the teachers and the community says it should go, right? So what they tell us they need, what they tell us is helpful for them. And I think if we do that and we're of good service and we're listening and contend to those needs that are going to be ever changing as the landscape of our technology and society changes, then I think we'll be good. Everything else will come and it will be, you know, all the other dreams will be realized, right? Any kind of like material success that would be needed to sustain that would be automatic, because it's the value that we're bringing first. Mm-hmm. And so it's really like, and that's part of why I'm here. I'd love to be, so more people can get us more information on what they, in their yoga life, what works and doesn't work for them, and what they would like to be easier. And, you know, so we really have to be connected to folks and taking information in from people, you know, about what it's like.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
What's hard for them. Because I solved my problem.
Yeah.
Right, for my little situation and my very, like you said, it is kind of a unicornish or, you know, not common configuration of life, you know. So that's kind of where it goes. That's the future. It's not like a set, like, we're definitely going to do this. Like, no, not necessarily. If people don't need that, then, you know, it's not the time to do that yet, you know. But if there's things that people can do that super help them, are super helpful and helpful in their journey of making life, their yoga life, simpler.
Yeah.
Then we're going to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Do you, like, how do you kind of get that feedback? I guess I'm just wondering, since I think about like the average app user, like they download mm-hmm. something, they use something, maybe they like, it doesn't work for them. And then they're just kind of like, I'm not going to use this anymore. Do you feel like your users are pretty good at being like, hey, like, I'd love to see this experience or see this feature? Or like, how do you kind of get that feedback?
You know, we got to be proactive. There's two ways I do it. For one, I get feedback from people in my community, because I teach still, right? I try to make sure I teach at least once a week. And if not, I take a lot of different classes. So I'm constantly talking to yoga teachers in general, right? and students. And so that's like my kind of ground zero feedback. For people in the app, we have to be more proactive at this point. Although we have, you know, a little help button there that if you click it, you can send us a message through the app, right? And in case you didn't know, I'm saying that now so people know that. we also, once in a while, will reach out to heavy users and get feedback, and we'll just send you an email. Right. And you can always send us an email, which we're all about, anytime. Right. Even if you just have questions. But yeah, we reach out to our users. We'll send emails to people and ask them, how are things going? And is there anything that you need? Is there anything that's missing? But yeah, at this point, more people are outside of the app than inside as well. But so, you know, a fair amount of time talking to people just in the streets, you know, people in the studios, you know, on the ground and in person, it's a natural occurrence in my life anyway. So that's kind of the process, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really cool. And that was totally a selfish ask on my part. I was curious how that works. Cause I think it's I think sometimes when you create something and you put it out there and you feel really like stoked on it, like you've solved the problem that you had. And then I think sometimes it can just be like a very sort of like, do people actually like this? And I'm sure you guys can see like stats as well. Like, I don't know. I found this with my podcast. Like I could see my podcast was growing and I can see that more people were listening, but I'm like, I don't really know who these people are. Like, what do they want? What do they need?
Right.
And it's like, you got to kind of figure out like, how do I engage with these people? How do I actually interact with them? Cause there's like real people sitting there, you know, using it, having this experience. So it's really cool that you're having those conversations and being really open to that. I think that that's, you know, a really encouraging thing. And I think that even just being accessible to people makes it like people feel more excited about using it.
I totally agree with you. And it's a really interesting thing. When you talk about stats and analytics, there's a whole world of that, right? Especially if you're doing advertising stuff and like knowing conversions and what segmenting populations, it's a whole science. It's really amazing. And there's probably more we can be doing there too, but yeah, it's critical. Yeah. Cause it's, especially when you build something, and especially when it's like your baby, right? When it came from your fingers, you can sometimes, just like I'm sure if you had a baby, I don't have a child, but I, you know, nieces and nephews, so I've peered over shoulders of parents. And you're like, hey, you know, like you wanted to be out in the world and grow, et cetera, but you're also like sensitive to it. But I think I'm past that stage of being oversensitive to it. You know, we launched at least a year ago. I love the feedback, especially the critical feedback. I'm like, good, it'll make them grow well, right? So I like it when someone's like, eh, it was this, but it wasn't. It didn't meet X, Y, Z. Oh, that's gold. Tell me more. Tell me more how we failed. How we failed as miserably in the face of your expectations, because those are the greatest potentials for growth for us, right? It's like the pose you hate, that awkward airplane that's even though you don't like going there, it's like, this is what's going to like actually make me better. Right. I love taking our lumps, you know, where people are like, please reach out.
Yeah.
Direct line, you know,
yeah,
email T at faveyogis.com.
Did you say T at faveyogis.com?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. people know now. If you've got a question, comment, piece of feedback, email. I love Absolutely. That though. I think that that's an incredible place to be. And I think that it is easy to be sensitive about something you make, especially because we feel this like kind of pride in it. Like you feel really proud when you've created something or
sure.
built something, or I don't have a child as well, but I'm sure there's a lot of pride with having a baby.
<I'm>
also.
Sure.
But I think to be able to sit back and be like, you know, like I am not perfect and I'm never going to be. And tell me what you need in your life so that this can be better for you is a really, really amazing place to sit.
Oh, absolutely. And it took a lot to get there, but definitely I love it. It's the same with even putting it out, right? Like, even these days where I'm like, oh, I could add 100 more things, but it wouldn't come out until 2020. So I know it's not perfect right now. It's not the best of the vision you could have made it, but it can be helpful. And if it can be helpful to someone, put it out and then just keep going after, right? And just incrementally add more features. So like, and that makes it easier to say, hey, what don't you like about this? Especially when I can contribute to it with my own hands, I can be like, all right, we're going to change that. It's not like, oh, we don't have the funds to like keep the people working on the app who built the app. No, I'm gonna go home and sit down and I'm gonna fix that. You know, and I love that. You know, I've in a way it feels like service, right? Because it's like, all right, I gotta do this thing to help these people make their lives easier, especially in the yoga community. And so, I guess technically I've never really called it my seva, you know, but I think that's the way to approach it. From what I know about yoga, what I've heard from the great gurus is that's a great way to approach it, you know, because then it's and everything else works out then, right? All the other like things you're like, I also would like it to make a living, like that'll make sense, you know, but you've got to be of service and value to people first.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's an amazing way to approach that. I think that that's super awesome. And I love again how you're, you know, consistently able to blend your yoga with you know, programming and building an app. I think it's just so cool that it blends so well together for you. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on, you know, does having the app kind of replace having a website? What do you think? Do you think teachers should still have websites? Do you think it's a good starting point?
Great question. Absolutely. If you can afford a website, and which all teachers can't necessarily, right? I have teachers who use the free WordPress site versus like a hosting and a GoDaddy. If you can afford a website, I highly recommend every teacher have one, right? Because it's direct branding to whatever.com. There's drawbacks of having to type in, especially my eight letter name, yoga.com, which is why having an app is helpful. But I do think it's a supplement. I think it's a both. I don't think having just, like you said, in some situations, if I'm on the go, I'm on my phone, having a website isn't as nice as having a single thumb tap app, right? An app is literally like a thumb tap away. I didn't type in a website name. It's like I have the Fave Yogis icon right there. Boom, I click that, I'm in. I see my schedule. I just tapped one time as opposed to, so there's situations where an app is going to be great. I recommend every teacher has it because that's the newer thing, if you will. Like that's more people are on their apps than not, because not everybody can sit down in front of a computer all day. They're not a programmer like me, right? But if you're on a computer, it's nice to not have to reach for your phone, right? And enough of us work on computers where it's like, can I pull this up on a website and have some interaction and have some kind of ability to get some of the value? And we want to bring more and more of that to the web as well. So yeah, so I don't think that, I think have a website for sure, but also you can link the two, right? That's why we give you a place to put your website in Fave Yogis. So if they did get to your Fave Yogis and you have a website, they can go there. If you couldn't afford a website, well, you have when you have Fave Yogis, you have your own username. So de facto, you have a website. You know, if you're on Fave Yogis, you have a website because you have your schedule at, you know, faveyogis.me/ whatever your username is. That is a web presence. So like we take care of at least have every teacher can have a web presence where they have their schedule up, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And then if you need more, oh, there's a link to your website. So you can have a web presence now when you can afford it, maybe. You can have a website and you can link to it. If you have a website that whose main focus is other stuff, right, whether it's like you sell a video or it's just photos, to not have to make your students dig through that website, there's Fave Yogis. So they didn't have to go rummaging around for your schedule. If you don't have the ability to update your website yourself, say you're not a coder or you don't have a back-end content management system, great, you don't need one. You change it on the app, it'll automatically change wherever you've put our little snippet of code or whenever someone comes to your Fave Yogis page or they go to your profile in the app. You know, we allow you to embed a piece of code into your website. So if you do have a website, you can keep your schedule there from Fave Yogis. So that means I update it in the app, it'll change on my website where I inserted the code, it'll change in the app, it'll change on the web.
That's awesome.
It's really that was when it was building that out was really a fun challenge, and I was very proud of that in terms of being able to have a sort of single point of truth, right? Instead of like, oh, I didn't update I forgot I have it on Facebook and I have, you know, in text, plain text, and I have it on my website in plain text, and I gotta send the web guy that to update it, and I got this other thing on Instagram. So it was just, that was like, again, that was just as crazy as having six apps on my phone to find out where my one favorite teacher was teaching today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's amazing. That's really cool. I think that's an awesome thing. And you know, if anyone's listening, you're feeling intimidated by one line of code. One line of code is so much easier to update than it is to go manually change schedules in like four places. So
I agree. and we can always help people. Like some people have had problems because they use a certain kind of website, maybe like that doesn't allow for embedding code. And so we try to work with folks and give that extra care if they need of like, I can't figure this out. But that's also why we came out with faveyogis.me/ your personal link, because that way, just in case there's issues, you at least have a ground zero for like, go here, there's my schedule, no matter what. It's always going to be here at least, even if you don't have the app, even if you're not on your phone. You can always go here and it'll be there. You know, maybe my website was down, my schedule's still up, you know.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great. And so I'm sure that somebody out there is probably wondering, is there some sort of membership fee? Is it free to join, or what's that sort of like?
Great. So that's, while we're always like open to different feedbacks, currently the structure is that you can add as many classes as you want, either one-time events or recurring classes weekly. But only, I think right now it's five classes will show to users. And then if you wanted to have unlimited amount of classes, you could upgrade to a Teacher Pro account, which is basically a premium account. I think right now we have an introductory price up, and I won't quote it right now offhand until I looked in there, but we have an intro price up right now. But it's a subscription-based thing if you want all your classes to show. But even if you're not on the subscription, you can put up your classes, and it will always show the five most recent. So it's like if you have – it'll rotate. So it's like from today, the next five classes. So really all your classes will be shown technically, right? It's not that much away. But there's other features that we put in the premium for folks too, where you have like an unlimited amount of push notifications you could send. It's like custom messages. I think there's a few other things too. But we're also adding a bunch of features all the time. So the offerings and the pricing could technically be in flux by the time this is being listened to. But right now I think we're at a pretty affordable price, and the features are pretty solid, but I don't think there's too much of a wall behind functionality of premium accounts and free accounts right now.
As
we speak.
I'm sure it's still like much better pricing than Mindbody Online as well, especially if you're like an independent person.
Guaranteed. We definitely took a look at that pricing, and it guaranteed it's orders of magnitude more affordable and I believe easier to use.
I've used both, and I would definitely agree with that. I think that, again, you know, not to rag on Mindbody Online, I think that they're a fantastic software program, and I think they do really great things. But I think they're designed for studios, and I think that it's awesome that there's something that's more for teachers, with teachers in mind, like for people who don't have $130 to pay a month for a software program.
It's exactly right. Like, much, you know, they couldn't afford the website maybe, or the website alone is something, right? And then 130 a month for,
it just adds up so fast. And then you've got like,
it really does.
Yeah, all your other monthly payments. I know that whenever I look at my stuff per month, I'm just like, man, this just keeps getting higher and higher.
Yeah, these little $10, $15, $20 nicks, you know, that all of a sudden it's like, wow, and I think in this day and age, because everything is so like subscription based, we're more mindful about that and what we add to. And that's why with Fave Yogis, we do want to make it that even if you're like, I can't afford nothing on top of my monthly nut, I can still put up my classes. People can still see some of my stuff, right? I can still get a piece of value here. And then if and when I'm ready, I can move forward and like add more and get more premium features or something like that. And so, yeah, that's currently how it stands.
Awesome. Yeah, that's amazing. Do you have anything else that you want to share about Fave Yogis today?
No, I mean, just that you know, we're always here, always open, love hearing feedback, interested always in ways that we can interact with the community, open to all types of ideas. So reach out, you know, we talk. And so,
yeah, absolutely. And so it's faveyogis.me, and then it's on all app stores, right?
Yes. Faveyogis.com is like the homepage technically, but faveyogis.me, you can get straight to interaction, but it's also on the App Store under Fave Yogis, FAVYOGIS.
Awesome. Amazing. Thank you so much for this conversation today. This has been so fun, and it's been so cool connecting with you after, you know, promoting Fave Yogis for a couple of months now.
Thank you, Amanda. It was my pleasure. Really.
Yeah. Keep doing what you guys are doing.
Thank you. You too.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode of the podcast with Tammy Tope from Fave Yogis. Go and check out Fave Yogis. It's free to download. You can get it on your app store. You can go see how it works at faveyogis.com or faveyogis.me. You can check out some of the profiles and just sort of get a feel for what the app's like. And there's no financial commitment with that at all. So just go have a look and see if it'll work for you and your business. As always, you can find the show notes at the website at www.mbomyoga.com. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Mastering the Business of Yoga. And you can join the private Facebook community at Yoga Business Badasses. Just search it in the search bar of Facebook, answer the questions, and I will let you on in. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Namaste.